In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was looking around on the internet for some information, and I ran into an especially clear statement of an understanding of the Christian faith that is completely different from Orthodox Christianity. According to this understanding of Christianity, we are not Christians. The difference between Christianity, this person was saying, and every other religion is that every religion, and Christianity, he said, is not a religion. We would agree with that. Christianity is not a religion. All religions, he said, try to reach up to God. Christianity does not. In Christianity, God reaches down to man who can do nothing and saves him. And it is for us to respond. We accept God's salvation, and that's the end of it. We have no capacity to respond in any other way. That is the sum total of Christianity. And anything beyond that is religion and is not Christian. Well, that takes care of us. There is something that comes up just before the passages that we heard this morning in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he describes the origin of the understanding of Christianity, or we would say the misunderstanding of Christianity, that I read about this morning. St. Paul makes it clear in the beginning of a set of explanations that he concludes in what we heard this morning. The first thing he says, the first thing he establishes, is that all of us sin. He includes himself amongst the Ephesians in their sinfulness. And he says, all of us have sinned. All of us have been at one with one another in the fact that we sin, that we follow the bad example of Adam and Eve in the garden. And we turn away from God. We disobey him. We eat of the fruit of the tree of hope that this world can make us like God. We do the things that we are forbidden to do. All of us sin. And the West understood that part very, very clearly. We are all one in that we are all sinners. St. Augustine even went so far as to say that we are all damned en masse. To be a human being in our fallen condition is to be damned to eternal punishment after death en masse. We are all sinners. They got that part. But the idea that all God can do, or that all he has in store for us as human beings, is to keep us from being punished after the death that came into the world because of sin. That, we would say, skips the reason that St. Paul started talking about all of us being sinners in the first place. That part we get to in the words that we read this morning. But you have to already understand why he's saying the things that he says that we heard this morning. If we take them out just sentence by sentence, or even a part of a sentence by part of a sentence, we're not going to get an understanding of why he says what he says. Yes, there is a oneness that we share with all other human beings in that we all sin. We all are in that fallen condition. But there is a new oneness. Christ comes to establish a new oneness for us. A restored oneness of our humanity in communion with God. In him, that oneness is fulfilled. He is both fully God and fully man. He is fully what God created us to be. We're not. We miss the mark. We sin. But that isn't what we are meant to be like. We are meant to be not like God beyond and above us. We are meant to be as our humanity is revealed to be in Christ. Jesus Christ is not just God come into the world. He is God come into the world and has taken up our humanity. What we are meant to be, what has already been accomplished in Christ, as far as what we are meant to be. We can see in Christ. In Him our humanity is fulfilled, and His humanity is our humanity. It is what we are created to be. Now, language fails us here. When we say it is what we are created to be, we might think, I am created so that I can become like Him. The problem here is the I part. It's not a matter of me in isolation, or you or anyone else in isolation. To be a human being is to be one with other human beings. That's our nature. It's only been a few centuries, just a few, that people have begun to think of themselves as isolated, individual human beings, separate from other human beings, and yet at the same time, fully a human being all by myself. That is not a possibility. God created no such human being. We have a delusion that we could be such a being. Some people are Christians and use Christianity. Some Orthodox Christians want to use Christianity to become an independent Christ, to become like Christ all by themselves, to improve their spiritual life and become like Christ. And this recent idea of an individualistic humanity, where each human being is the ultimate existence of a human being separate from others, that idea has led to this new perversion of the Christian faith. That is not how God created human beings. And when St. Paul writes his word to the Ephesians, that is already understood. That understanding is not foreign to them. Listen specifically to what he says. St. Paul says, even when we were dead in sins, he has come to quicken us together with Christ. He has come to quicken us, to make us alive in Christ. That's the part that was lost to the West. The West lost any sense of the divinized humanity of Christ, the fulfilled humanity, our humanity, fulfilled in Christ. We are made alive because we can share in that fulfilled, divinized humanity that is our ultimate humanity. We are created to be human beings, and our humanity is revealed in the divinized humanity of Christ. Even while we are still in our sins, because we are human, our humanity is fulfilled in the divinized humanity of Christ. His humanity is our humanity. When we leave behind our self-identification as fallen beings, at one with Adam, and die to our faith in living life separate from God, separate from Christ, separate from others, as Satan tempted Adam and Eve to try to do, to live separately from God and yet be like God. It's not possible. When we leave that delusion behind, that death behind, and we realize that Christ is our humanity, then we want to follow Him. Then everything that we do in this life, every action that we do, becomes an orientation toward and a movement toward Him. Not because I'm accomplishing it, but because He is our North Star. Our humanity is hidden in Him. We've heard St. Paul say that our humanity is hidden in Christ. I am hidden in Christ. The only I that's involved here is the fact that each one of us as individuals has to act and live our own lives, live life ourselves. But there is a oneness of our humanity in Christ. I've often wondered what people mean when they say in Christ. St. Paul is so clear that there is a new oneness of our humanity at one with God that is revealed in Christ, and our humanity is hidden in Christ. If that's the way we're going to live our lives, then it's not a matter of my accomplishing something. It's not a matter of my doing good works. It's not a matter of my individually and separately trying to become more like God. It's not a matter of my reaching up toward God. God reached down and entered our humanity. He didn't just reach down and do something. He reached down and entered our humanity, took our humanity to himself, and made himself the new Adam. Our life is hidden in the life of the new Adam. We can live toward the life of the new Adam. We're not automatically changed into being saved. We are saved in a dynamic sense. Life is dynamic. We begin as infants. We become children. We become teenagers. We become young people. For a while, we think the whole world is centered around us, but we're on a journey. And eventually, we get old enough to realize, hopefully, that the world is not all centered around us. We don't despair when we become old, because we identify not just with ourselves in isolation, but more and more with all human beings who we can see are fulfilled as human beings in Christ. That is the new life that we are called to live. Salvation is the living of a life in Christ, an eternal life, the beginning of living a life in this world, through Christ, in Christ, at one with him, like all of the rest who have ever been at one with him. Their lives are filled with divine meaning. When we orient ourselves toward Christ and begin to move toward him, the past of our lives becomes like the tail of a comet that is flying toward Christ. All of the events of our lives are gathered together. Nothing is left behind. It's all brought along as we, at the head of the comet, move toward the ultimate fulfillment of what we are, so that we can rejoin and never simply become what he is, because the glory is that we are created creatures. We will never fully and completely become divine. God is God, and we are creatures, but he has created us to draw us toward himself, so our lives can become more and more intensively meaningful the longer we live in orientation toward and movement toward him. Even in our sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. When we become Orthodox, sometimes we're confused about the idea of synergy. We try to act in synergy and cooperation with God by doing things in the world, still identifying ourselves as separate from others, still trying to function as individualistic, separate beings, cooperating with God. Synergy is faithfulness to oneness in Christ. Synergy is faithfulness to oneness in Christ. A oneness in Christ that is always just beyond us, and yet we are already participating in it. Otherwise, our lives would not be bright with the brightness of Christ. That comet would not be on fire with the love of God. And all the things that we've done in our life wouldn't trail behind us, being purified as we move further and further, higher and higher toward Christ. More and more at one with all of the others who have united themselves to Christ. This is the dynamic image of our salvation that is lost, that we must regain, whether we're Orthodox or whether we're not. The meaning of life is hidden in Christ. His humanity is a humanity that ought to inspire us with the love of God. because it is impossible to be human, to be fully human, without the love of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.